Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Washington establishment is asking the American public to believe something that is not believable. They're asking you to believe that two individuals created hundreds of victims and they acted alone, and that the DOJ has no idea of who else might have been involved, that nobody else did anything that rose to a criminal enterprise. The American people know that's not true.
This is Representative Thomas Massie during a press conference held on Wednesday for the victims of Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell. As you know, this is not a subject I've paid an awful lot of attention to. Mostly, I know a lot of people are really into this, and they have all kinds of theories and spent hours and hours and hours discussing it. I think it's, of course, it's a disgusting story. And I generally have said, look, let the information come out. Why do you keep protracting this? And, you know, I thought we were going to get the information. It was an opportunity for the Trump administration to really follow through on a promise to disclose. And now all of a sudden, no, we can't let the information out. And now it's become a partisan issue where Republicans want to keep it in and Democrats. I thought actually for a while there looked like everybody was in favor of releasing the information. And so in this press conference, you basically have Thomas Massie and Marjorie Taylor Greene, who, for the record, I think is the most one of the most embarrassing legislators we have in Washington, D.C. But it doesn't matter. When you're right, you're right. You know, somebody can be wrong 99 times and then right one time, and they're still right one time. Okay, that's true for anybody. And she was right on this subject. Thomas Massie is right on this subject. And it's embarrassing to me as a Republican that apparently Republicans are not willing to just plain release the information. That notion that they did this alone is crazy. Of course, there were, hundreds, perhaps thousands of people who either were involved actively as sex buyers or facilitators or accomplices or at least didn't intervene, you know, blind eye turners, collaborators who recruited other women to, you know, taxi drivers and pilots. I mean, this did not happen with four people, right? This is not a very small thing.
I think it's shameful that this has been called a hoax. Hopefully today we can clear that up. This is not a hoax. This is real. There are real survivors. There are real victims to this criminal enterprise. And the perpetrators are being protected because they're rich and powerful and political donors to the establishment here in Washington, D.C.
I mean, that's the only conclusion you can draw. There's no other reasonable inference than that people are being protected. Because what other reason could there be for not disclosing all of the documents? I don't have one. So if you got one, I'd love to hear it.
Shame falls on every single person that coldly turned a blind eye to their abuse. The shame falls on every single person that enabled it. The shame falls on every single person that took money to continue it. And the shame falls on the people in power over the past several decades that protected the monster, Jeffrey Epstein, and his cabal that continued a nightmare. Those people deserve the shame.
That's right. Marjorie Taylor Greene, again, I can't think of a time when I've agreed with her yet while she's been in office, but she's absolutely right about this. And it doesn't matter. It's whether the issue, whether you're right on the particular issue. Lots of women who had been victims, lots of women who had been victimized at the early age of 14, and gotten like 13-year-old friends to get 14-year-olds to come to respond. I mean, this is heartbreaking stuff. And it's infuriating to think that police covered this up, that investigators declined, that they offered immunity deals that had to be brought out by lawyers securing Freedom of Information Act stuff or suing the federal. I mean, just it's crazy the level of cover-up of the underlying horrific crime. And by the way, this is not just these women. You know, one of the lessons we're teaching our country right now is, are we going to expose everybody who's done horrible things? Or are we going to pretend like, you know, it's not that big of a deal? Are we going to pretend like they're the only ones? Are you really going to pretend like it, you know, it was only USA Gymnastics or Michigan coach? It was only Bill Cosby. It was only Weinstein. It was only Epstein. You know there's more. I mean, common sense and your experience, you know there's more. And how do you fix this problem of the sexual predation of young women unless you really vigorously prosecute and expose and humiliate the people who are involved in this stuff? I mean, they're not trafficking humans across the border so that they can have cheaper tomato pickers. They're not trafficking children. That's for this kind of stuff. And it's not the Jeffrey Epsteins of the world. It's the, I hate to say it, but it's, you know, it's your neighbor. Not every neighbor, not every street, but a lot of neighbors on a lot of streets. And it's not always this big, exotic, rich person's island jet party situation. But we've seen enough of those. But it's the whole culture that is sadly pervasive. And I hate to think that about, you know, my country that I love, but sadly we know that this is true. Here's, and I'm going to play a couple of these things for you just because I think it's worth hearing.
My name is Courtney Wild. I was only 14 years old when I was introduced to Jeffrey Epstein by a 13-year-old friend of mine.
13.
So I hired an attorney, Brad Edwards, because I was hopeful to get some answers. When I walked into his office at 19 years old, Brad sued the government for refusing to tell me what was going on under the Crime Victims' Rights Act. The only reason anyone ever found out that the government had already given Jeffrey Epstein immunity through the non-prosecution agreement was because our lawsuit forced the government to tell us.
That's unbelievable. And yet for 20 and 30 years, these women, many of whom thought they were all alone, didn't think anybody else was a victim and kept quiet because they were afraid. This is Jenalisa Jones. Actually, I'll come back to this in a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good. 9 miles, accident-free, not showing any delays in Car City. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
All right, we're back to the women who have been victimized by Epstein and Maxwell and what they want to have happen, which is to have all the information out, which I don't think there's any argument against that anybody can reasonably give.
My name is Jenalisa Jones, and I was only 14 years old when my friend brought me over to Jeffrey Epstein's house in Palm Beach in 2003. I had a terrible home life, but I was such an innocent kid then. I always did my best in school, and I had such a positive outlook on life. Until that day that I met Jeffrey, I have never been more scared in my life than I was that first time that he hurt me. I remember crying the entire way home, thinking about how I couldn't ever tell anyone about what actually happened in that house. This guy was so rich and had so many pictures with so many famous people, and no one would have ever believed me if I told them.
And that, I mean, that's just an example. There are so many other, actually, here, look, just one more, because it's, I hadn't watched a lot of this, hadn't paid a lot of attention to this. Okay, and I don't pretend to be an expert on the whole story and the intricacies of it. But, I mean, I've heard enough. By far. I've heard enough. You know, if we're going to have a culture that really deals with this stuff and takes it seriously and really, really commits itself to protecting women, you have to put out the information. What an unbelievable lesson is being told right now if we don't reveal and tell and disclose. This is Marina Lazardom, I think is her name.
I was only 14 years old when I met Jeffrey. It was the summer of high school. I was working 3 jobs to try to support my mom and my sister when a friend of mine in the neighborhood told me that I could make $300 to give an older guy a massage. It went from a dream job to the worst nightmare. Jeffrey's assistant, Leslie Groff, would call me and tell me that I needed to be at the house so often that I ended up dropping out of high school before 9th grade. And I never went back. From 14 to 17 years old, I went and worked for Jeffrey instead of receiving an education. Every day I hoped that he would offer me a real job as one of his assistants or something important. I would finally have made it big, as like we say, the American dream. That day never came. I had no way I had no way out. I was, until he finally told me that I was too old.
You know, I was talking about this with my my wife last night. And she's like, I'm like, I don't know a lot, but what I do know is he used his money, his connections, his influence to get dancers, studio time, and positions in dance troupes. He used, you know, his connections with the modeling and fashion world to get women careers or ruin their careers. And it was just this constant use of money, threat, coercion, network, favors and disfavors. You know, it's the same story you hear about individual abuse in individual households, just without limits when somebody has the resources to do whatever they want to do. And again, I think it's very simple. The information needs to come out. It needs to be publicized. I don't understand why my party's on the wrong side of this. This is not a partisan issue. And Thomas Massey really summarized it the best early on in the press conference.
I want to thank my colleague Ro Khanna for co-leading this effort to bring transparency and justice for these victims. I hope my colleagues are watching this press conference. I want them to think, what if this was your sister? What if this was your daughter? When these survivors speak.
Absolutely. 719 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This Sunday is Grandparents' Day. In 1978, President Jimmy Carter signed a national proclamation for citizens to observe Grandparents' Day. And that proclamation explains the purpose for the day. It says that Grandparents' Day is to, and I quote, honor grandparents, to give grandparents an opportunity to show their love for their children's children, and to help children become aware of the strength, information, and guidance that older people can offer, end quote. Bible character Timothy had a grandmother named Lois. She was a woman of strong faith in God, and her faith was an inspiration to young Timothy. I encourage you to follow the example of Timothy and take time to honor your grandparents for their wisdom, strength, and guidance. And even if they've passed away, take time to praise God for the life lessons that they taught you and the memories that you still enjoy to this day. And as a result, have a happy Grandparents' Day.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk. Mornings at 9 right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Until you get fired again.
Ocean Man.
Good morning, 7:23 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Dave Greenwood is the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County, and he always joins us on Friday when it's not AJ, because it was AJ for the last 2 weeks, his deputy chief. Dave, welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you, Andrew. It's good to be back.
Good to have you back. So what are we looking at this weekend, sir?
Fairly calm surf. It's really nice and bright, sunny out here today, and pleasantly it's comfortable. So we're looking forward to a great weekend. I'm happy to say we concluded our service with Gulf Islands National Seashore last Monday. It was our last day of covering their beaches.
So where right now, because people, you know, it's hard sometimes to remember all these details. Where right now are there lifeguards on Pensacola Beach?
At a minimum, we have lifeguards at Casino Beach 7 days a week. That's dependent on availability of lifeguards because most of them have gone back to school. Happy to say, they're doing very well. A lot of UWF has started August 25th, so we're, this availability of staff decreases.
All right. However,
to answer your question, get back to answer your question, at a minimum, 7 days a week, we have lifeguards at Casino Beach.
Very good. And what time? What time in the morning do they come on shift? Is it 10, 9?
Well, they're in the towers at 10. They come in at 9:30 and gives them a 30-minute window to set up equipment, trucks, et cetera, and then they're in the towers from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., shut down from 6 to 6:30.
Very good. Anything else that you want us to know either about last week rescues or prevents or anything that's going on this weekend that people ought to be aware of?
Well, yeah, you mentioned in this past week we were quite busy. You know, the surf picked up and we had over half a dozen rescues, over a dozen rescues.
Wow.
You know, people that needed assistance getting in, so we prevented a lot of cascade of an event. We didn't have to call EMS to have anybody transported. They did work a major medical call Sunday morning about 11:30 on the island. Major medical call, patient was life flighted. So we worked with EMS and fire rescue and life flight. And so we had a busy week.
Wow. I mean, I'm so glad you guys are out there. So glad your folks are out there. Hey, last quick thing, a little bit lighter note. I asked AJ last week whether you or he was the stronger swimmer, and he gave an answer, and I wanted to give you a chance to respond. He indicated that maybe he would be a little faster in the sprinting circumstance. You might have a little bit better advantage on the endurance side of things. But again, I wanted to give you a chance to reply, you know, not to leave it with just the one-sided perspective.
Oh, sure. I will say he's a better swimmer because swimming is a very technical skill. It's like golf. You know, if you learn improper technique, you're going to, bad form is going to be carried with you. And me, I was in Alaska, in the middle of Alaska, and in the wintertime, and we had a pool on base, and I would go and swim in the pool. So I taught myself basically all kinds of bad stroke technique and mechanics So I'm a self-taught swimmer, but
I didn't know that.
So I can say that. Yeah,
oh, that's interesting. That's exactly right. In every field of endeavor, you learn the bad habits in the beginning, and they're virtually impossible to cure later on in the process. Man, that's so interesting. Dave Greenwood, he's Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. Dave, thank you for keeping us informed and keeping our people safe. I appreciate it.
All right, Andrew, have a great weekend. Look forward to talking to you next Friday.
Yes, sir. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good. Highway 90 clear from Milton to Pace. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Dave, I almost said Dave Greenwood. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, looks like name change is coming for the Department of Defense. President Trump wants to change.
Thank goodness. That's what we've all been hoping for.
President Trump wants to change it to the Department of War. He's expected to sign an executive order today to officially rebrand the DOD.
You know, it seems to me that this is kind of a halfway solution. You know, because
really?
President Trump, what's the idea? It's to sound tougher, right? To sound
sure,
more
yeah.
aggressive, more assertive, to exert dominance, right? Well, Department of War is not the strongest word you could have. I mean, we could have the Department of Death.
Ooh.
The Department of Killing. the Department of Mass Violence. I kind of like, you know, the Department of Domination.
Okay.
It could still be DOD, then the acronyms in the stationery wouldn't have to change.
Right, that would save money.
Yeah, Department of Fighting, Department of Battle, Department of Combat, Department of Conflict. I personally kind of like the Department of Bloodshed. You know, to really put it right there on the bottom shelf, what we do. So, I mean, if we're going to spend $1 billion to rebrand the DOD, I mean, let's get a real name. The Department of Fire and Fury and Death. The FFD.
I like it.
I mean, you know, let's, and we can, then we have Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Fire, Fury, and Death, you know, because what's he going to be now? Is it going to be the Sec War? So the Sec Def? Stupid.
Right, yeah.
I mean, look, if we're going to spend 500
Fire,
Tomahawk
Fury,
missiles
like
on
it,
a rebrand, because that's about what it'll cost, about $1 billion, $2 billion a piece for Tomahawk. If we're going to spend 500 Tomahawk missiles on a rebrand of stationery and pens, and, you know, let's get a good one. Sorry, David, I just, go ahead.
Fire, Fury, and Death. I like it. Let's make it happen. Boeing hiring permanent workers now to replace striking union employees in the St. Louis area. The company said they're moving forward with their contingency plan to make sure they're properly staffed to keep supporting customers.
Customers like the Department of Fire, Fury, and Death.
Yes, the Department of Fire, Fury,
primary
and Death.
Customer of Boeing. Go on.
And boxing icons Mike Tyson and Floyd Mayweather Jr. getting back in the ring next spring for an exhibition match. So far, there's been no announcement of where that's going to happen or where it's going to be broadcast. But Mayweather said that if he's going to do it, it's going to be big and legendary.
All right, Dave. Thanks so much for the update. 7:30 on News Radio 92.3. Somebody says Andrew for governor. No, no, you wouldn't want that. I am not an administrator at all, not even a little bit. The Department of Seeing Your Enemies Driven Before You and Hearing the Lamentations of Their Women. Conan the Barbarian would approve. The Department of Defense Dominance. Here we go. This is a pretty good one. The Brawn Department.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The Army extends orders for the D.C. National Guard through November 30th. While that was taking place, a top official in the district files a lawsuit against the Trump administration, calling the use of the Guard dangerous and harmful to the district and its residents.
D.C.'s AG Brian Schwab said yesterday about this lawsuit. He wrote, "No American city should have the U.S. military, particularly out-of-state military, who are not accountable to the residents and untrained in local law enforcement policing its streets. It's D.C. today, but could be any other city tomorrow. We filed this action to put an end to this illegal federal overreach."
Fox's Alexandria Hoff at the White House. President Trump could cut the order short or extend it. UK Prime Minister Angela Rayner resigns after ethics inquiry into underpayment of tax on home purchase. Her boss, the Prime Minister Keir Starmer, called it the right decision. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 here, News Radio 92.3. We've got sunshine this morning, looking like it's an absolutely gorgeous day, 70 degrees. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. A contract employee with Chartwell's Food Services in Santa Rosa County, 30-year-old Jordan Lee Miller, was arrested Wednesday on a warrant for indecent exposure. He's charged with misdemeanor, vulgar indecent public nudity, and additional charges now related to child pornography are pending. The Santa Rosa County School District confirmed that Miller was immediately relieved of his duties when they were notified of his indecent exposure arrest, and he's no longer permitted on school campuses. The incident did not occur on school grounds. Deputies say they responded to a call from a group tracking suspected online predators, during which Miller disclosed possessing images of child sexual abuse material on his phone. He's currently being held in the Santa Rosa County Jail without bond. Well, Governor DeSantis recently cut funding earmarked to pay for ShotSpotter technology in the Escambia Sheriff's Office and Pensacola Police Department. Now, that contract for the ShotSpotter system is up at the end of the year. PPD's Mike Wood says they are looking for a way to keep it.
We're going to look and try to find alternate sources of funding, because it's really a great program, and we hate to see anything happen to it. So that's something that we're going to have to wait and see.
And Wood says that it has helped them identify and arrest multiple suspects in various incidents. The Escambia Sheriff's Office previously said that without the state funding, they wouldn't be able to afford to keep the system. Sheriff Simmons did say, though, that the Real-Time Crime Center will continue operating even without the ShotSpotter sensors. In Daphne, police say an arrest was made after an incident at Jubilee Farms. The police department there releasing a statement saying 32-year-old Robert Keehy was found inside a home as the resident was away. The woman was reportedly a victim in a previous domestic incident, and a domestic violence protection order was in place. Well, officers say they attempted to contact Keehy, but they were unsuccessful. After obtaining an arrest warrant, they went to the home, and they say he refused to exit and claimed that he wasn't there. After reconnecting with the victim, police entered the residence, discovered Keehy hiding in a closet. He was arrested without further incident. He's charged with domestic violence, criminal trespass, and violation of a protection order. Investigators identified the two of the suspects in a boot theft from a well-known Escambia County Western store recently, 50-year-old LaCarter Milliander and 49-year-old Angel Scott. The two have been arrested for allegedly stealing from the boot store in Pensacola. Both were booked into the Escambia jail on Thursday and charged with felony larceny, petty theft. Surveillance footage captured the alleged theft. The sheriff's office cleared a third woman who drove the suspects of any wrongdoing. Milliander had two active warrants for his arrest for theft and violation of community control. Scott had three active warrants for prior theft incidents. It is 7:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with PJ, get a look at our traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash with injuries, 77th Avenue at Lillian Highway. They're saying there's a roadblock. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with temperatures around 90 degrees for your high. Just a small 10% chance of a stray shower, otherwise mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. For Saturday, 20% chance of a stray shower, otherwise mostly sunny, high near 90 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Keeping that beautiful weather on Sunday with plenty of sunshine, high near 90 and a low near 69. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got 70 degrees now, warming up a couple of degrees. Looks like clear skies still. Our next news is at 8 a.m. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. President Trump has signed an executive order finalizing the trade deal with Japan. The headline is what we expected, 15% baseline tariffs on most Japanese goods, including cars. As part of the deal, Japan also agreed to invest more than $500 million in projects selected by the U.S. government and ramp up purchases of American crops like corn and soybeans. BMW is looking to keep pace with competitors as the German carmaker struggles, just like others in Europe. It's taking the fight to Tesla and Chinese rivals, unveiling the first in a fleet of software-controlled electric SUVs. It's one of more than 40 new and updated cars that BMW wants to push out in the next 2 years. Just a couple of minutes away from the release of the August jobs report, Wall Street investors are hoping for better news than the government data released earlier this week. It showed more unemployed Americans than open jobs for the first time since the pandemic. That's Your Money Now.
This is Pastor Carl Gallups of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church that when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. The Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not, regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks. Rent a kayak or a paddle boat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center. Or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers. Tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit PlayPensacola.com or follow social media at PlayPcola Parks. It's time to get out and play.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Would ask that we direct staff
you're fine.
And bring it to a vote on the 16th. Whether you voted up or whether you voted down, everybody has their opinion for the negotiations. This is critical for my district. And so I'm not in any way saying that we're giving money for a demolition, but for the rehabilitation of a neighborhood. But at the same time, making sure that we recognize the importance of not setting a precedent that we're giving money to any particular organization to take care of their issues, but make this I don't see this as a demo project, Commissioner Kohler. I see this as a project in which we can work through.
All right, so we are into part two now of the Escambia County Commission meetings from yesterday. The Committee of the Whole had a brief discussion about whether it was even allowed to add on the item for Baptist, which has been supposed to be on the agenda for a long time and keeps not getting put on. I have no problem with them adding this item. It's been well discussed. And, you know, Mike Kohler was skittish about it because he thinks it ought to be more public notice, which I understand. Allison Rogers said it's legal but frowned upon, whatever that means. And so Lumen May, this is the night meeting. They're actually having the conversation. Are we or are we not going to fund any money for the Baptist demolition? And he says, look, I don't want to set a precedent for other companies that we would do their demolition for them. I don't like thinking of it as a demolition. I want to fund, the construction of a health clinic, which is part of the deal, and dental care and a community center, which is all theoretically part of the deal. But he says, and this is a little troubling,
And I don't know exactly what the dollar amount is.
No.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's a blanket amount that it's $2 million or $1 million. I think it's something that, you know, we can negotiate, our staff can negotiate it, and they can bring it back. I mean, with everybody's input, just not my input.
Well, the number's $2 million. I mean, there's this much it costs for the bid, and there's this much we've gotten funding, and the shortfall is $2 million, which is what the county had previously said they would put in. And now all of a sudden we don't know. And well, I mean, not all of a sudden. It's been foot dragged for a long time. It's been, I think, Chinese inspected to death. And now we're at the point where we're not just kind of, I don't know.
But I certainly have been very cognitive to respect commissioners in their lane and in their districts. And I expect that same reciprocity when I'm taking a lead to what happens to the constituents in my district.
It's a District 3 project, and the typical demeanor of the board is to defer heavily to whoever's district it is, since it is the voters of those districts that elect each individual person. And in this case, that's just not happening. The deference is not taking place. It is not a one-district project, nor was a OLF 8, nor a lot of things. But it is usual to defer, they're not. So Steve Stroberger, District 1, that's Beulah, and then down the coast, down to like Perdido Bay and all that kind of stuff in rarity.
I wonder what kind of precedents we're setting if we decide to spend $2 million or anything else for that matter to demo that property when my understanding is they were going to demo it. Am I right?
They allocated in their $925 million conduit bond paperwork that they put $50 million into that Marino Court, and they're putting in $3
million. Yeah, so they were going to do it.
That's Mike Kohler, Commissioner District 1, and the chairman right now. Sorry, Commissioner 1, 2, I got to think for a second. That's right, yeah. 2, he's Commissioner District 2, which is, you know, Warrington and Brownsville on the west side of the city. So Steve Stroberger says, well, Baptists should pay for this. And I don't like the precedent that this sets.
And it still sounds like a corporate bailout. I mean, who else are we going to be bailing out next?
And that's the thing that he's said sort of before is, I don't want to set a precedent for other places. And then what I thought was maybe the most revealing thing that got said all night. I sort of finally have an explanation, maybe, at least from one commissioner, of why the foot dragging.
I understand your feeling about the blight there. I think I think that Baptist is going to take care of it. I mean, they've already got $7 million from the state. They want money from us. They want money from the city.
So we can say no because somebody else will take care of it, which might be true. It might be false. It's a big gamble to take. And as one of the key governmental partners in this project, it's sort of a, oh, we don't need to take care of that. Somebody else will do it for us. I don't love that exactly, but he might be right, you know. Maybe. Mike Kohler.
I will go through a discovery thing on the 16th, and we get like 90K. We are getting fleeced on the West Side CRA. They get 1.6 million. This is how they can get to yes. We can get to yes tomorrow if they want to. I'm not against the project, but after the meeting, if I can just clarify something real quick, because Commissioner May.
So he thinks that CRA money or the share of CRA money that the city gets could take care of this no problem. And so why bother? And his repeated idea that the you know, the county gets taken advantage of on the CRAs. He says the point that he's made before, which is we said we're all going to get together, Baptists, the city and the county. We're all going to come back with ideas, and they didn't come back with anything. And so we shouldn't have to come back with anything. We'll come back to this in just a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash with injury, 77th Avenue at Lillian Highway. They're seeing the roadways open once again. Also, a vehicle crash, I-10 eastbound just after Pine Forest. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So, again, Lumen reiterates that he's not even considering the $2 million price.
$2 million is not even consideration.
Okay. And so then we get another revelatory comment from Mike Kohler, one that I did not expect to hear, but here goes.
Why can't Baptist just transfer those properties to us without going through the city? They don't have to go through, we don't have to go to the city. Baptist still owns them.
Well, maybe that's the direction that we give to Wes and Allison when they go have the discussion.
Yeah, I'm like, we need to negotiate. Baptist still owns the land. They could transfer those to us. I think if we're negotiating, we don't need
That's the point. We're not going to negotiate it tonight from the dais.
Why don't we just take over the project? Well, what? I mean, it's always a possibility, I suppose, but is that the answer? I don't know what that would look like logistically. I have a suspicion that if that's what they want to do, that DC would be like, all right, cool, go. You know, if you think you can do it. But I don't, that was the first time I heard the county say that they wanted to own the project. Because I should not say this. Well, I will say, because county development projects have been so. I can't even finish the sentence. Okay. All right. Well, back to Lumen May, Commissioner District 3. That's the sort of the center of the community. I live in District 3, by the way. You know, that's what this is right in the heart of District 3.
Quite frankly, the conversation is not about the dollars. It's about participation. Because rather we give $100, $500,000, $1 million on a $200 million project, it's symbolic because it really doesn't mean a whole lot. Candidly. And so, but how do we move this project on so we don't have a hospital that's sitting in the heart of our community and causing blight?
So now $2 million doesn't really matter. It's a drop in the bucket either way. It's really about being at the table and being in control, which is kind of an interesting position for him to take. It fits with what he said before. And, you know, the idea that we put in two or one or 500,000 and we get influence.
And if we're not at the table, quite frankly, I know the history. Every redevelopment project that has happened within the city of Pensacola that was intended for the good of the people from the neighborhood has ended in a result that the very people that it was intended for no longer live there because there's nobody at the table to advocate for them.
Which is a fair concern. By the way, I think he's got a slogan there. If he could have caught it in time, is it good for the hood? I mean, I kind of shortened what he said, but, you know, it kind of makes sense. Then he says, look, he's not interested in demolition, but in rebuilding and in shaping the project. Ashley Hoffberger, who has adopted the habit of waiting to see what everybody says and then saying, and usually has something very clear and helpful to say.
I do feel like there's a few things at play, and to say that the city or that Baptist didn't come to the table with anything, I think is unfair. Baptist came to the table with all the property they're donating. The city came to the table with several million dollars already.
That's her responding to Mike Kohler.
I understand there's friction in how we get there and what we're actually paying for, but if we take a step back and look at it, the question is getting health care, getting food, and getting dental services in a community center in that area worth X dollars? And I think that it is, because the only way we're going to move forward as a community is if we all move forward together.
Yeah, it's a good frame of the issue. Look, if we don't take care of the hospital, it's just going to sit there and be blighted and we're going to have nothing. And is that the alternative that you want to purchase with your inaction?
My concern is that this is kind of vague. So is there a dollar amount that you're looking for? Because what I don't want is to send them back and say, hey, go figure it out, like we've done the last few times. And then we come back and we have another hour-long conversation and we don't come to anything.
Right, and we start to expire deadlines and that becomes a problem too. Wes Moreno says, he's a county administrator, look, we have $500,000 we can use. We don't want to use anything from the general fund. We don't want to use anything from local option sales tax. And so then Lumen pops a valve. he's had it.
The hypocritical part about it, since we want to be blood raw. City needs money for tennis courts at Roger Scott inside the city, $1 million. We want to give them money for American Magic for kids to go sailing, we give them millions of dollars. We do all these partnerships in terms of things that are for the most of them. And then we want to have this long conversation about $500,000 when we get millions of dollars for tennis courts. We get millions of dollars. I mean, for ST airspace, we get millions of dollars in terms of selling, millions of dollars in subsidizing things. You know, they're my friends in hockey and all those things. And now we're having a conversation about healthcare, dental, resources, food for a community. I have not brought up demolition one time.
Right? So then it kind of even goes farther off the rails. Mike Kohler, the chairman, says,
are you or Ashley open to putting any of your discretionary funds in there?
Oh! If we don't do it as a county, will you guys pay for it out of your own discretionary fund, which is, my brain, $50,000 a year? $250,000? I think it's $50,000 per person per year. But that seems low to me all of a sudden now that I'm talking about it.
Dude, listen, I'm open to anything. But we've already identified
I get the half million. More, would you be willing to put any of that money in?
Absolutely.
How about you, Commissioner Hopper?
I'm interested in exploring the other ideas. As far as the discretionary funds, it's a community project. It's not a D4 project. And it's a generational project that's going to have a huge impact. So I don't know why we would need to use discretionary funds when there's other objectives there.
That's right. Give me my portion out of Outline Field 8, and we'll put that in.
I love it when it gets down to the, all right, you want to do that? Let's do this. How about, come on. You want me to spend my money? This is a county project. Why are you asking me to spend my money on it? We spend all this money on all these other things, and, we're going to get filthy rich on OLF-8. Let's take some of that money.
That's what we can do. Since we're talking about, do you want to give your discretion? Give me my portion out of medical marijuana.
Give me my portion
out of medical marijuana. Okay, here we go. We got money out of medical marijuana. I mean, so where's that money? I mean, so don't come here and put me on the spot talking about, do I want to give up my discretion here?
He's calling Mike Kohler on that very inappropriate question of asking him whether he'd be so interested whether he'd personally fund it, because that could become a talking point on any project that they're going to fund, right?
I agree with you, and I've told Baptist we should have or urgent care on that campus. We should have medical. And so I've stood at the top of the mountain yelling at the Baptists, and so I'm not going to renege on that, Mike. And so all I'm saying is let's go do the discussion.
Let's see what they come up with.
Yeah,
I'm open.
You know, we discounted Outline Field 8 by $10 million. Give me that. And then we can go build our own urgent care.
And then, you know, Steve Strohberger, he's also been kind of a wait and talker, like Ashley has adopted. But it's usually something you're not expecting. Is typically the case.
So Andy,
that's Andy Gibson is the deputy PIO or the assistant PIO for the city.
Had requested
for the county.
Had requested from the city, and then I requested from the city documents so that we could understand what the cost is, what the disposal cost was, what the services cost was, so we can figure out what the salvage credit is. We haven't received that yet. I'm curious why that is.
So he claims the city's dragging its feet on giving information, and then he follows up with, again, one of the most astounding things I think I've heard in the conversation all night.
Another thing is, I don't think I have a single email about Baptists in my inbox or in my garbage or anywhere, because it's just not something it's on anyone's radar.
What?
I think that everyone assumes that we're not going to spend that kind of money on that demo. So it's easy for me.
Nobody's lobbied him. Nobody's emailed him. Nobody's called him. They must believe he's not going to do it. That's his interpretation. So who cares? No big deal. So what'd they decide? Would it surprise you that they didn't really decide anything? They kind of vaguely decided to, well, staff is going to talk with Baptists and the city, and we'll see. And then maybe we got this $500,000, and maybe on the 16th of September we'll have better information, and maybe we'll make a decision about something related to money at that point, and it'll at least be on the agenda for the next meeting. If that doesn't sound like much of a plan, it's not. But we did learn some very interesting things in the course of the conversation. So there you go. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash I-10 eastbound just after Pine Forest. That is causing a little bit of a slowdown. Use caution. Pensacola Boulevard southbound also running a little bit heavy just before I-10. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you need that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. Cars that are between a year to 4 years is kind of their sweet spot. 10,000 to like 30,000 or 40,000 miles. Cars that have a little bit of use, but not very much. They're still, you know, they're going to warranty them to 10 years or 100,000 miles. They're going to take care of it. They're good quality cars and a lot of variety on the lot. So you can see all kinds of different things side by side and, you know, compare seat adjustment tactics. I mean, like, you never know what thing is going to bug you about a car until you've owned it for a while. Well, one of the things is by sitting in them and trying them, but also ask them. Ask them what people like and don't like about the cars that they drive and that they trade in and that they come back with, because they'll tell you. They see and handle thousands of cars at Frontier, and they can help you pick out one that you'll enjoy because they know what other people say they do and don't like. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority and happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion. You are invited to bring a blanket and a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, check out Count the Years. They're a high-energy cover band that takes audiences on a musical journey through the decades, from synthesized 80s to today's chart toppers. It's all happening at Bands on the Beach. You'll be dancing and singing along all night. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Saturday from 9 till 2, check out the local arts and craft vendors at Bill Dixon Park. It's arts and crafts on the dock, and admission is free. See visitpensacola.com for more. The Into the Woods Artist and Farmers Marketplace event is Saturday from 10 till 4 at Magnolia Acres, 500 Petty Drive in Cantonment. Explore exceptional products and enjoy the surroundings. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
So you get fired again, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Good morning, 7:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. President Trump wanting to change the Department of Defense to the Department of War. An executive order expected to be signed today. Also, Washington, D.C. suing the president over what they're saying is a military occupation of the city. A lawsuit was filed yesterday claiming that by sending the National Guard to D.C., Trump has, quote, run roughshod over a fundamental tenet of American democracy that the military should not be involved in domestic law enforcement. And
he's not wrong about that, by the way. That is a core principle. Yeah, go on.
On a lighter note, The Conjuring Last Rites is the number one movie for the weekend. The fourth installment in the horror franchise made $8 million in Thursday previews. It's expected to make another $50 million over the weekend.
All right, David. File this in your healthcare news. Sometimes tells you the most surprising things. New research indicates that LSD might be useful for reducing anxiety. I have said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. It will eventually be the case that cholesterol will cure cancer and Bran will be the silent killer. It will just eventually, I know science is supposed to change its mind. Just do it less.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.